If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The fashion brand behind the red coat that House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi wore after a meeting with President Trump announced that the coat will be added to their 2019 collection, while Chuck Schumer's glasses will be added to the CBS Reader's carousel.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with actress Kate Bosworth. Plus, just for this podcast, Kate continues the conversation backstage at Studio 8G. But first, a closer look.
President Trump did an interview today where he desperately tried to rebut allegations that he broke campaign finance laws. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. It's easy to grow numb to all of the chaos surrounding President Trump. He has a way of wearing you down, like the guy in a romantic comedy who keeps pushing and pushing until finally he's standing outside your house, trench-coated with a boombox, and you think, yeah, I mean, I guess this is normal. But yesterday was a truly remarkable day in politics. The president's ex-fixer, Michael Cohen, was sentenced to 3 years in prison for committing crimes he says the president told him to commit. And Cohen was clear that he now considers himself free to tell the full story of what Trump did.
Michael Cohen said today, I take full responsibility for each act that I pled guilty to, the personal ones to me and those involving the President of the United States of America.
He said exactly that today, no matter what sentence he got, would be a day of freedom because he was no longer in the personal and mental prison that he was in working for Donald Trump.
Wow, you know you're hard to work for when going to prison is a relief. If Andy Dufresne had worked for Trump, he would have pulled a reverse Shawshank and tunneled back into his cell. But it really is a little bittersweet. This is an incredible fall from grace for these two. It was only a few years ago that Trump was a reality TV star, a New York City blowhard who would occasionally flirt with running for president just for the attention. And Cohen was right by his side, enjoying the limelight. He was the Ed McMahon to Trump's Johnny Carson, the Dean Martin to Trump's Jerry Lewis, the Salacious Crumb to Trump's Jabba the Hutt. In fact, here's an interview from 2011 where Cohen clearly enjoys being Trump's right-hand man and bragging about all the attention Trump was getting, although he used an unfortunate and prescient analogy to describe Trump's political influence.
We're pleased to be joined by Michael Cohen, who's a top lawyer and right-hand man for Donald Trump. And Michael, the big question I got on Twitter, a lot of people want to know, what is Donald Trump up to? Is he running? Is he not running? Is he going to play kingmaker? Is he going to endorse? What is the Trump game plan when it comes to 2012?
Well, first of all, hi, Rick. Hi, Amy. How are you? Good to see you again. Donald Trump is definitely a playmaker. I actually used a statement yesterday. He is now the godfather of politics.
I'm sorry, it sounds great, but Trump is not the godfather of politics. If he were the godfather, he'd be much better at getting away with the stuff he's been doing. He's more like the naked drunk dude running down the street on an episode of Cops of Politics. Today, Trump did an interview with Fox News where he furiously denied the allegations. Now, prosecutors and Cohen are alleging that Trump used the National Enquirer to cover up an affair by getting them to pay for the rights to the story and then burying it. And late today, NBC News reported that Trump was in the room during the hush money discussions with the tabloid publisher. Trump was asked about that and claimed it didn't happen, but he didn't seem 100% sure about it.
The New York Times is saying that a tabloid publisher's deal to hush money is now endangering Trump even more. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. You know, as you look at this, what do you want the nation to know about your former attorney being sentenced yesterday?
I don't think, and I have to go check, I don't think they even paid any money to that tabloid.
I love how he says he'd have to check. It makes it sound like he has a ledger somewhere listing all of his illegal payments. Let's see, mafia, not Putin mafia. I gotta be honest. I don't see anything about a hush payment to a porn star. Oh, wait, yep, never mind. It says right here, fun stuff. It was the fun stuff. It was fun. We had fun. Trump also keeps insisting that the payments were totally legal and did not violate campaign finance law, despite the fact that prosecutors in his own Justice Department and independent legal experts say they did. And to prove it, he brought along some printouts.
And then you have the other situation, and every lawyer, look, Trump didn't violate campaign finance laws, and neither did the president. These are people writing stories that Trump did nothing wrong.
Oh, somebody taught Grandpa how to print. Grandpa, what are you doing? I'm printing. Printing. I like to read my Facebook in bed. Fundamentally for Trump, this all comes down to his relationship with Cohen, who prosecutors say was the key figure in a criminal scheme to defraud the American people. Trump was asked why he had hired a guy he now says is a criminal and a liar, and he basically shrugged.
This was someone who surreptitiously recorded you.
Terrible.
Is now known as a criminal liar. Yet this was someone who was in your inner circle.
Yeah. Well, it happens. I mean, look, it happens.
No. It doesn't just happen. It only happens to you. No one else accidentally hires a criminal lawyer who pays hush money to cover up an affair. Trump's like a guy who accidentally admits to something super embarrassing, thinking it happens to everyone, and then tries to cover it up. One time, you know, I did that thing where I got drunk at karaoke, vomited, slipped on my own vomit, and then my pants split open in front of all. We've all done it, right? Who hasn't been there, right? Slipped on vomit, butt open. Co-workers there, you've been there. You're shaking your head no, okay. So today, Trump decided to go on offense with a TV interview. But what was he doing yesterday? Well, his ex-fixer and one-time friend was in federal court saying the president directed him to commit a crime. Trump is doing what you'd expect the most powerful man in the world to be doing, blowing off work and watching TV.
I have to say, we just checked, the president isn't in the West Wing yet. There's no Marine guard outside, so he's had all morning to watch TV and watch these unfolding developments in the residence.
The president has moved from the residence to the West Wing. He arrived here at about noon.
That's right. Trump was watching TV all morning and didn't get into work until noon. It's like when you know you're about to get fired, so you stop caring if you're bad at your job. Soon, Mike Pence is going to catch Trump smoking weed out back by the dumpster. Hey. Donald, buddy, you're still on the clock.
Whatever, man. I'm moving to California and opening a dispensary.
But you can't blame Trump for wanting to hide this one out. Every day as his legal problems grow, Trump is freaking out because Democrats are about to take control of the House. Trump has enjoyed 2 years total Republican control of the government. So this is the first time he's seeing what real opposition is like. It's like he's been playing T-ball this whole time, and now he has to face Randy Johnson. Although, in reality, Trump isn't batting against Randy Johnson. He's just the bird flying by. I know that's from 2001, but I didn't have a show then. And the bird's fine. The bird, they live together now. Randy just chuck seeds. Oh, he's a lefty. In fact, Republicans are so scared of Democrats having power in Congress when they met in the Oval Office on Tuesday, Vice President Mike Pence just went totally silent. In fact, even after that meeting, Pence was supposed to meet with Republicans but was mostly quiet. According to the Wall Street Journal, Pence, who looked on silently during the public portion of the Oval Office discussion, later met with Senate Republicans at their weekly lunch Tuesday but said little. I think I know what's going on here. Pence wants to be president, but he doesn't want to associate himself with any of this mess. So he's just hunkered down waiting for Trump to resign. Look at his body language in that meeting. That's what I do when the guy next to me on the subway is loudly watching porn on his phone. It looks like Pence is trying to go full chameleon. Trump right now is facing actual opposition from Congress for the first time in his presidency, and he's clearly rattled. Every day his legal problems get worse. If the feds ever knock on his door and ask him point blank if he committed a crime, he'd probably say,
I have to go check.
This has been a closer look. Our guest is a talented actress and producer, as you know from films such as Blue Crush, 21 and Still Alice. She executive produced the film Nona, which will be in theaters tomorrow. Please welcome to the show, Kate Bosworth, everyone. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Congratulations on this film. This is a very moving film, a beautifully shot film, but it is about the horrors of human trafficking.
Yes.
What brought you to make a film about this topic?
Well, my husband, Michael Polish, wrote, directed, and shot the movie, actually, so he was wearing a lot of hats on this one. But he had heard a story on the radio about a sex house that was busted not so far from our home in Los Angeles. And there was 44 known sex houses in Los Angeles area. So he was just shocked. And he came home and he said to me, you know, I feel like there's an important narrative story to be told here. And he came up with the idea of Nona. And I said, yes, like, let's jump in. Let's tell the story. You know, I think we get overwhelmed with the statistics of human trafficking and sex trafficking, which is, you know, multi-billion dollar a year business and millions of people sold into the sex trafficking industry. But we lose sight of the humanity of each person. And so that's why we wanted to start with one girl in Honduras and follow her journey as to how this happens, you know, rather than the what or seeing the effects of it so much. It's really just getting to know one person.
My wife worked as an ADA in Brooklyn, and she was prosecuting sex traffickers. So this was something that I was unaware of the scope of it.
Right.
And I would not have known to this day without knowing her. When people come and see this film, are they, and what's the reaction been for you so far? Are people surprised at exactly what the story you're telling?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you meet Nona, you meet her in a small town in Honduras, and you just kind of fall in love with her as a young woman. You know, she's someone who has dreams, she has hopes, but she also lives in extreme poverty and, you know, has no money and not a lot of resources. And she meets this young, cute boy who says, hey, you know, I have an opportunity for you to come to America and have a better life, and you're special, and I see it in you, and, you know, come with me, and I'll find an opportunity for you. And so she decides to take the risk because it seems better than her current circumstances in Honduras, which, you know, Michael actually shot in San Pedro Sula and in
Guatemala.
And
this was a choice. He felt it was really important to shoot it on location.
He did. It was absolutely critical for him to shoot in basically the footsteps that these people take, you know, and the risk that they put their lives in, which obviously it's sort of not lost. The timeliness of this movie and the release of this movie isn't lost on me in terms of what's happening at the border.
And as an EP, obviously, and you do have a cameo in the film, but it's a small part.
Yeah.
And one of the things I know as an EP you had to concern yourself with was security. That must have been a big part, especially shooting on location.
Yeah, I mean, he and the crew, it's a small crew. It was like 8 to 10 people, honestly. It was himself and a couple of other people in the cast, and they were shooting in, you know, some of the most dangerous places in the world. And so, you know, for us, most of the money went to security, which was an ex-Navy SEAL, you know, armored vehicles, armed guards, everything basically to keep them safe in these places.
And I want to ask about this. Is a bit of a coincidence. You and your husband were married a day before, in 2013. You were married a day before.
What is your date?
We're September 1st, 2013.
Okay. And you we're August 31st,
You're August. Okay, so there we are. So you were a day before.
Yep.
And I did not... Your husband got the date tattooed? You're the date of your wedding.
He did.
This bums me out, because I did not. Where did he get it tattooed?
He got it tattooed, like, right here.
Okay. Was there a reason he got it there?
He got it, yeah, he got it there because about 3 weeks of seeing each other, I had signed a card for him.
Wait, 3 weeks after meeting?
Well, yeah, of
you know, dating?
Of dating.
Okay, so you're 3 weeks in, okay.
Yeah, we're 3 weeks in. I had signed a birthday card for him with my name, and he... his birthday's in October and my birthday's in January. And so I signed this card in October and he came home on my birthday and I said, you better get in the shower. You know, we're going to, we have to go to dinner. And he said, I can't get in the shower because it's going to affect your present. And I said, okay. And then I like kind of realized like what it was. And it was my name tattooed on the inside of his arm.
He did that after 3 weeks?
He's all in.
Yeah,
he's
no.
He's a dude,
look,
you know?
Everybody knows that, but I'm a dude too. And that took me 5 years to propose.
Where's your tattoo?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
He got this one here because the Kate tattoo protects the date of.
Oh wow! So he's really romantic. And then on top of it all, this is an incredibly beautiful wedding photo of
Thank
you guys.
You.
Yeah. Where did you do it?
So we got married in Montana. He has a.
We also had those horses.
Yeah, it's a horse-drawn carriage brought me into. Well, we got married on sort of the top of a mountain.
I'm so glad we didn't hear about this wedding until now. Ours was lovely as well.
Where did you get married?
We got married in Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, beautiful.
And we had lobsters. We had two lobsters. She got pulled in. She was on a boat that was pulled by two lobsters. It took forever. It was a terrible plan because, you know, we thought, but lobsters are not as slow, and they were, you know,
funny.
Even a big one can't pull a human woman, so.
That's hilarious.
Congratulations on the film, and thank you for making it, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Kate Bosworth, everybody. Helena opens in theaters on Friday.
Hi, everyone. It's Sarah from Late Night. I'm here with Kate Bosworth. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Hi, guys.
You mentioned on the show with Seth that your husband, Michael, who is the writer-director of the film, he came up with this idea after hearing the story. How long from when he heard that story and came home and you talked about it, from that genesis, did it get to creating the narrative to making the film?
It happened quite quickly, actually. He came home after hearing this story about a sex house that had been busted and had a real impact on him, and he came home and he talked to me about it, and I agreed. I felt like, you know, this was incredibly important subject matter and that, you know, we should be involved in some way. And he started just coming up with an idea of following one girl and really focusing on an individual. He wrote the script in about probably 3 to 5 weeks. I mean, really fast and furiously. And Michael writes pretty lean scripts. Like I honestly think the script was about 60 pages to begin with. And he just knew that, you know, because of the travel and the locations, that he would be filling it with a lot of visual symbolism in that way. He wanted it to be kind of a meditative movie in many respects. But I think it ended up being about 90 pages total by the end of it. And then from there on out, it was the decision of just us financing it and getting a you know, production plan together. And, you know, Michael is such a camera junkie. He knows everything there is to know about cameras and lenses. And so in that sense, we were able to shoot the film on the budget that we did because he was the writer, the director, the cinematographer, and so he didn't have to confer with anyone else. You know, he could pivot on a dime, he could make decisions, you know, and if he wanted to change a line or if he wanted to have, he didn't ever put the scenes in a particular location, for example. He knew that he couldn't get caught up in that. Like if there was a scene where it said it's in a church, he knew that he might not be able to find a church in that particular day, in that particular moment, in that particular town. So he would just say, I'd like for this to be an exterior scene. And then he would find a graveyard, for example. Or he would say...
That scene in the graveyard is beautiful.
And he literally just saw it and said, okay. And he looked at Sulem and he said, do you know the scene where you talk about, you know, Echo's ex? And there's a lot of dialogue. And she said, oh, kind of. Because it wasn't scheduled to be shot anytime soon. And he said, I want to shoot this in the graveyard. And so that happened kind of spur of the moment. And that was really the way that he could get the film done in the time amount that he had and the way that he did.
And you mentioned when we spoke earlier that dialogue leads to action, action leads to change,
right.
And that was sort of
yeah.
the impetus behind making this. When people see it, what do you suggest for someone, I mean, like myself, who wants to learn more or be further educated about this topic? Like, is there an organization that you think is worth visiting or learning more about?
Yeah, for me, Michael and I realized early on in the process that we really needed to be as educated as possible in the subject matter. And although it's fictional, it's a narrative story, we wanted to have as much information and legitimate, valid information as we could. And so we got connected with an organization called CAST, the Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking. And they are just incredible. They work with survivors. They identify victims of human trafficking and spend about a year and a half to 2 years working with them and helping to stabilize their lives and get their feet back on the ground and empower them. Kay Buck, who is the CEO of the organization, always says, this isn't like breaking a girl out and setting her free. Like, this takes time. Psychological damage has been done, and mm-hmm. you need to really kind of understand the complexity of that and how to get someone grounded again and feeling strong again, and or if they've never felt that way, then doing it in the first place, So,
yeah.
So then they work with victims for a year and a half, 2 years, and those survivors end up the majority of the time working within the organization and helping other victims as they meet them.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's an incredible, I really highly, if anyone is interested in, in the subject matter or wants to find a way to do something and a call to action, I would highly suggest going to CAST LA, their website and checking it out.
Okay, cool. I'm going to do that.
Thank you.
I love the movie so much.
Thank you
so much.
I know I told you,
but it's beautiful and everyone should see it.
Thank you. I so appreciate that. I mean, this has been a labor of love for Michael and myself, and it really did start with just hearing one thing. You know what I mean? Like, we heard one sort of news story that broke, and we just thought, what can we do about it? And we did what we knew we could do, which is make art and use our voices that way. And yes, we used money, and yes, we used time, but I really feel like it starts with one thing. And so I also like to encourage people to not think that anything is too small, because mm-hmm. that can often lead to something much bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a great message. Thank you so much for
being
here.
Thank you so much. Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Are you tired of dating assholes? Do you want a Prince Charming? If so, we're filming a reality show. Sign up here.
12 American women are flown over to the UK for a bachelor-style reality dating show.
There are so many questions about a show like this because it's so odd.
These women have been told that they were going to be dating the world's most eligible bachelor, Prince Harry.
What? Y'all playing with me, right?
You can binge The Bachelor of Buckingham Palace exclusively on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.